The question was asked, why did Avram merit to have God call him, invite him, tell him, Lech Lecha, and give him all these promises? So there are different approaches to the choosing of Avraham. In some Midrashim, we have the concept that Avraham was chosen even before the world was created. The concept that there would be this great human being as Avraham was one of the concepts that predated creation. There would have to be such a person who would propel all of humanity forward. But I think in order to better understand what's going on in our story, we need to begin with the story. Okay? So, there was once a young lady. This story is a story from hundreds of years ago. So we have this girl, and she's fallen in love with this guy, and her father disapproves. So her father tries to dissuade her, and she says, no, this is the man I want to marry. And her father says no, and she says yes. And her father says no, and she insists. And her father takes her to the king. And the king tells her, young lady, you better listen to your dad. You marry whoever your dad tells you. We have a tradition in this country, who we marry. What does that mean, you decided you want to marry someone else? And she says, but it's logical. This is the person that matches for me. This is the one I want to marry. And the king says, look, you're going to listen to your dad or else. And she says, I'm not going to. And the king imprisons her. And after a period, he comes in and says, okay, now will you listen to your dad? And she says, no. And so the king imprisons her for 3 years. He puts her in a dungeon. And all this time, the man she wants to marry, he has a tremendous army. He can take down that king. The knight that she is so madly in love with, well, he can come in and save her, and he doesn't. For 3 years, she's in the dungeon. And after 3 years, she comes out, and the king says, well, where is your lover now? Why don't I see him? Why hasn't he come here? Are you willing to marry who your father says? And the girl says, no. If he didn't come, I don't know why he didn't come, you're right, but I still want to marry him. I am not going to marry the person my father wants. And the king says, well, you're not going to marry that knight. And she says, yes, I will. And so the king throws her into a dungeon for another 7 years. And this is a special dungeon. A dungeon where they would keep a person out of sunlight. They wouldn't see daylight for 7 years straight. And then at the end of 7 years, they would expose the person midday to the strongest sun, and that would blind the person. And the king tells her as she's being placed in that prison, you have 7 years to give in, and at the end of the 7 years, we will take you out into broad daylight, and you will be blind for the rest of your life. And she spends the 7 years composing a book arguing why she wants to marry that knight. And throughout all those 7 years, she knows that people have informed the knight of the plight that she's in. The man she wants to marry is well aware of all her suffering, and yet he doesn't come out to save her. And at the end of the 7 years, they take her out to broad daylight and forced her into the light. And then the knight comes riding by, and he doesn't attack, and he doesn't save her, but he does one thing. He, in his brilliance, he figures out a way to ensure that she doesn't become blinded. But that's it. And then they take the girl, and they handcuff her, and they take her out to the gallows. And they say, we're going to hang you. Either you marry who your father says or you're going to die. And they put the noose around her neck. And the girl is standing there defiant. And she says, I will not. I will not betray my faith to the knight. And as they pull the hatch, and the floor falls from beneath her, the knight comes riding by and shoots his arrow and pierces through the noose, and she falls down unscathed. But he doesn't attack. And when the king sees that the knight has released her, so the king takes a step back and lets her go. And then she runs, and finally she meets up with the knight. And after all these years, they make a wedding ceremony, and he gives her a ring that's the sign of their tremendous connection. And one day, after their marriage, someone looks at her and sees that funny metal thing on her finger. And he says, I know why you wear that. That's so in case someone disturbs you and you get into a fight, if you want to sock him in the nose, you'll give him a much better punch because you have that metal thing around your finger. So she looks at him and says, you're crazy. You have no idea how many years I dedicated myself until I got this bond that's represented by this metal thing around my finger. The end. What's this all talking about? What's the story about? So if you haven't figured it out yet, our princess is Avraham Avinu. And our king is Nimrod. And her father, Avram's father, comes and tells him, we're all pagans around here. You will not be a monotheist. And Avram says, I believe in one God that controls the world. I will not bow to the sun or moon or anything else. And his father says, that's not the way it's done around here. You have to choose a God and become pagan. And Avram says, no. And his father takes him to the king of the time, Nimrod. And Nimrod tells him, son, you have to obey your father and you have to worship a god. Choose which god. Worship the sun, worship the moon, worship the clouds, worship the wind, worship the fire, worship the water, worship me. No monotheism in our country. And Avram says, no. And Nimrod imprisons Avram. And Nimrod asks Avram, where's your God now? And Avram says, he could save me for whatever reason he chooses not to. And Nimrod says, well, you're going to stay here. And he puts him in the dungeon for 3 years. God hasn't yet said a word to Avram. Avram is going against the tide, against the whole world. And he's being put in prison. And all this time Avram says, God could make things different. How do you believe that, Avram? If God could, why doesn't he get involved? You're his lone soldier. You're fighting. You're fighting on God's behalf and God's silent. No different than the knight who could come and save the maiden. For 3 years, she's sitting in a dungeon and he stands silently by. And he could easily take her out. And after 3 years, they take Avram out of the dungeon and they ask him, will you bow? And Avram says, I will not. And then Nimrod tells him, I will put you in that prison for 7 years and you will become blind because when we take you out of that prison, we're going to expose you to broad daylight. And Avram says, I will not give in. And he spends his 7 years in prison compiling a work with 400 chapters explaining the logic, the philosophical logic of being a monotheist. What we call in tradition, Maseches Avodah Zarah. A tractate, not the Maseches Avodah Zarah we have here in the Talmud, but a tractate that Avraham Avinu composed. We have a tradition that he wrote a work with 400 chapters explaining the logic of why be a monotheist. That's how he spends his 7 years in the dungeon. So Avraham is already 50, 60, I don't know how many years old, when they tell him, we're now going to take you out of prison and you're going to turn blind. And that's the first time that we find that God gets involved in Avraham Avinu's life. Where it was well known that this system worked. People who didn't see any light for 7 years. Imagine what it means to live in the dark for 7 years. How do you walk out sane? Man in solitary confinement for 7 years? Doesn't see the crack of day? And after 7 years, they expose him to light, and he does not turn blind. And that was unnatural. And that's the first time we see God protecting Avram. God's holding out for him. And then Nimrod says, we're going to kill you. And they put up a fire. And they make it blasting hot. So hot, they spent 3 days getting it to the hottest they could get it in that part of the world. And they can't even approach the fire to throw Avram in. And they convene everyone. The whole family's watching. And they say, Avram, it's your life on the line. Where's God? He's not doing anything for you. Come bow. And Avram says, no. And they can't even approach the fire. It's so hot. They put Avram on a slab of rock. And they make it into a seesaw. And they're going to toss him into the furnace. And it's so hot, they have to stand at that distance in order to throw him in. And Avram stands his ground. But where is God? God isn't saying anything to Avram. God doesn't tell him, don't worry, son, it's all going to work out fine. So Avram is risking his life for what he believes in. And God isn't doing what we would expect his end of the deal to be. God doesn't say anything, a glaring silence. And Avram sticks to his guns. He says, this is right, and I'm not going to give in. And the masses are watching as they take Avram, and they're going to make a scapegoat out of him. They're going to show everyone, no one dare be a monotheist against Nimrod. And God doesn't say anything. And then Avram is thrown into the fire. They open the notch. The trap door swings open. And she drops. And at the final moment, the knight shoots his arrow and severs the noose around her neck. At the final moment, as Avram is already on the slab and they're throwing him into the fire, God makes a miracle. And he goes unscathed. And everyone stands and doesn't understand what's going on. They're all watching Avram in the fire. And the fire leaps out and kills all the soldiers standing there. But Avram is standing there unscathed in the furnace. No one understood what's going on here. And that was the first time that God shows him. Now, wait a second, where were you 7 years ago? 10 years ago? All these years? And it's only after that that God comes and says, okay, Avram, get out of here. They don't want to hear what you have to say here. Go to Canaan. Go to that land I will show you where people are more open, where people will be willing to accept monotheism. That's where you will teach. So Lech Lecha shows up on the scene when Avram is 75 years old. Avram Avinu is going after he's been through so many tests, and he stood up to them. And finally, he comes to Eretz Yisrael, and God tells him, I want to make a pact with you. We're going to make a covenant, a connection between me and you. So God doesn't give him a wedding ring. God gives him a circumcision. And he says, for generations to come, your seed will circumcise, and that will be the sign that you are my chosen people. And along come some people and say, I know why you guys circumcise. It's because it protects you from AIDS. Statistically and medically, we know that Jews almost never get cancer in the male organ. So it's very healthy to circumcise. That's why you guys circumcise. So you look at a guy like that and you say, you don't begin to understand what we've gone through with this pact with God. We've been crucified. We've been tortured. We've gone through the Inquisition. Avram Avinu went through so much until he finally got this wedding ring, which is really a pact that's sealed into our body. You know, people today are into this. The guy went to have it tattooed. It's biblically prohibited to have a tattoo, but it's the in thing in the non-Jewish world. So a guy went to have a tattoo. And on the tattoo, he wrote, to my love, Lucy. And the tattoo artist said to him, "Listen, young man, take it from an old man. Just write 'to my love.' Leave the name out." So this idea that people want to engrave into their body that they love someone, well, we have that. When we're 8 days old, we enter that covenant. And that's what the circumcision is all about. It's a bris. It's a connection with Hashem. It's sealed into our body. And when people look at it, they're right. It's true. If you'd sock a guy in the face and you have a ring on, a wedding ring on, it's going to hurt more than if you didn't have the wedding ring. But that's not why you wear a wedding ring. It's true. There are medical benefits to having circumcision, but that's not why we circumcise. The circumcision has so much more meaning to it. Now, back to the original question. So, when God appears to Avram and tells him, "I want you to go," that's after a whole history. Avram's lived a whole lifetime. He's 75 years old. He stood up to all these tests and God hasn't spoken to him. When he's 70, he gets his first vision. And then at 75, God tells him to go. But Avram has tremendous accomplishments by that point. And don't forget, everyone around him is having kids, and he isn't. And he's telling everyone, don't bow to the idols. They're not the ones that are in charge of fertility. Believe me, God's in charge of fertility. Really, Avram? Very interesting. How many kids has God given you? Right? Don't burn your kids to Baal. That's not what God wants. Avram, if you really understood God that well, why are you poor? Why don't you have children? Why are you persecuted? Explain that one to us, Avram. It's not easy. And God is silent. Till Avram is 70 years old, we do not find God talking to Avram. So Avram stands up to all of that. What a giant. What a prodigy. Who would do that? You know, we have it so easy coming after him. And don't forget, the world was against him. His own family, his own parents were against him. It's like the guy that says, "I want to go to Machon Meir," and his parents disown him, only much, much worse. It's like the guy who wants to go to Machon Meir, and his parents get a restraining order and put him in an insane asylum. He's cuckoo, take care of him. What's wrong with him? Come on, doctors, give him some shots. Beat him up a little bit. Knock some sense into him. So Avram's own father takes him and throws him in the dungeon. Whew. He has one brother who sides with him after he's thrown into the furnace, right? And so the king says, "Okay, let's see what happens to you." And they throw him into the furnace, and he's burnt to a crisp. So the one brother who sided with him is dead. Wow. Go, Avram, explain to us your monotheism. Not easy. So Avram stood up to tremendous tests. Before the story of Lech Lecha, it's not a surprise that he was chosen.